First, I feel like I should publicly apologize to John. The baby that we baptized last weekend was absolutely precious. God's love for that little boy was absolutely palpable in the room. However, as I was in the English room before worship, going over the last-minute preparations with the family, I had already perceived that the baby's biggest sister was going to be chatty, shall we say. Sorry, John, for not passing that wisdom along to you ahead of time, as would have been the collegial thing to do. There was actually an interaction with the big sister while I was with the family in the English room last Sunday that dovetails with today's lesson. As we were reviewing the baptismal questions and responses, the parents were changing the baby into the family heirloom baptismal garment. I didn't hear the story behind their gown, but it immediately reminded me of my family's baptismal gown, which my great-grandmother made out of her wedding dress in 1911, and it has now been worn by 75 of my family members. As the parents were slipping the gown over the little boy's head, the big sister teased, "He's going to have to wear a lady's dress." Because it was literally 7 minutes before worship, I didn't have the time to go into a lengthy 5-year-old appropriate discussion of the fluidity of gender norms. And so instead, I explained to her the symbolism of the baptismal garment. Our church doesn't require that people who are being baptized wear all white. But the idea behind the tradition is that in baptism, we are putting on Christ, like both of our New Testament texts said today. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, started our Colossians reading. The idea is that once we have been baptized, we are to wear Christ like a second skin, that Jesus and his ways should be as close to us as a pair of skinny jeans. Back to last week's baptismal family in the English room. You could tell that the parents were uncomfortable when big sister teased about her brother having to wear a dress. The family are supportive of our being an open and affirming church. The parents' eyes darted quickly to me when she said it. And while my quick response was about putting on Christ, if I had another half an hour with the family, I would instead have shared with them one of my favorite quotes that I came across in the last year. RuPaul says that he believes that all human beings are God in drag. Isn't that fabulous? I mean, what great theology. Think about it. The Genesis reading that David shared with us today tells us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Think of how a theology of putting on God would look then. Not just a gown that's passed down through the generations, not even a white robe like I normally wear on Sundays when it's not beastly hot. You know that's the same symbolism, right? That preachers wear a white robe to symbolize that they are putting on Christ. What if, like a drag queen, we were to put on both the outward trappings of God and the clothing of God, but then also were to follow the rest of the drag queen's methods? When someone is in drag, it is their whole persona. Not just the makeup and clothes and hair. It's attitude. It's a way of speaking and thinking and acting. It's a way of treating other people. It's a way of seeing the world. And for some who have been marginalized for too long, it can be a way of liberating how they see themselves. It's a way to see themselves as full of grace. What would it be like if we lived as if we, each and every one of us, are God in drag all day, every day? What would that be like? How would our lives be different? Perhaps the most important question is, how would we treat other people if we believed that they were God in drag? Reverend Michael Piazza was the pastor of the Cathedral of Hope in Dallas for years. The Cathedral of Hope is one of the largest UCC churches in the country, and it is the largest LGBTQ-friendly church in the world. When Piazza reflects on RuPaul's idea that we're all God in drag, he notes, "The spark of life that dwells in us is so sacred that the Bible says it is the very breath of God. We should not waste a single holy breath on bitterness, cynicism, hatred, or derision. If we are divine, then we too should use every breath to create life. We all have the power to enliven, invigorate, and renew, and we all have the power to diminish, to reduce, to destroy. The choice is ours." Piazza goes on, "No offense to RuPaul, but if a drag queen gets this, shouldn't we?" The rest of the world wrapped up Pride Month 2 weeks ago. But as in so many things, it's not a surprise to us here in Green Bay that we're just a little bit behind. Nonetheless, we had a powerful Pride Alive yesterday. Our booth was filled with smiling volunteers who wanted to share our message of God's inclusive love. And countless people stopped by to say how grateful they were that we were there, how surprised they were to learn that there are churches like ours who really do believe that each and every one of us is made in God's image and is beloved by God. I spent most of my shift sprinkling glitter over people's faces, proclaiming a prayer much like I offer in baptism. Holy One, we thank you so much for this, your beloved child. Bless their life and help them to know that there is nothing that they can do in all of creation that can separate them from the love of God. The sense of calm and peace and healing and grace that people shared was palpable. It truly was a prayerful experience in the midst of a celebration. I have to say that I felt like somewhat of a mix between a pastor and Glinda the Good Witch. And as I look out at the sea of a couple thousand people celebrating the freedom to be authentic and true to themselves, I was reminded of the other religious symbol that I wear most Sundays. Just as my white robe is supposed to remind me that I have put on Christ, the stole that pastors wear around their necks is a symbol of the yoke of Christ. Every time that I put this on, I kiss it and recite the verse in which Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is supposed to remind me that ministry is indeed a yoke, is indeed a burden, but that with Christ, I will have the tools to approach it with grace. Judson Memorial UCC is another large church, this one in Manhattan, and like most UCC churches, when they celebrate an ordination, they give the newly blessed minister a stole like the one that I'm wearing today. And then they also gift them with a feather boa. They tell the newly ordained that they are not only called to bear the yoke of Christ, but they are called to do so fabulously. Friends, as we put pride back on the shelf for another year, my prayer is that we will all, like RuPaul, with RuPaul's lead, think of both ourselves and those we encounter as God in drag, and that with this will help us to all be closer to being one in Christ. May it be so.